Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks, sir. Hey, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and it's an unbridled and untamed, so I got Andrew here with me.
Hello. How you doing? Hello, good people.
All those out there in radio land.
Hope you all are doing well. You're beautiful. You're loved.
Oh.
Have a great day. A
little positivity coming at you.
Start your day off with us.
Yeah.
Start your day off with us.
Clean your room, tell the truth.
No, make your bed. That's the first thing everyone should do when they wake up is make their bed.
Okay.
And don't hit snooze. You hit snooze a bunch of times, that's the worst thing you can do for your mind.
I'm a big snoozer myself.
I used to be, but I heard somebody tell me that one time and I tried it and made a difference.
What do you mean?
How it made a difference? I didn't seem as... Like, it seems like when I hit snooze, I get more groggy than when I actually do have to get up. Because then I'm like, oh, now I got to get up. But if I just get up, make my half of the bed, and start moving, my day seems to start off better.
You a coffee drinker?
I drink a cup a day, probably.
Yeah. You like getting on the way to work, or you make it at home?
It depends.
Yeah.
On my time, like sometimes I don't hit snooze, but I just oversleep. Like I'll hit snooze and not know it. I'll hit snooze in my sleep while I'm sleepwalking. Like last night, if last night would have been like a night before I had to get to work, I probably would have hit snooze a bunch because I stayed up so late. But
man, I woke up this morning and I was panicking because I didn't set an alarm last night.
Yeah.
And I woke up and it was 7:20. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be late for work. And I thought about it and I was like, wait a minute.
Today's a good day.
It's Saturday.
I don't have to go to work.
Yeah, like I like, and this is going to roll right into an ad for Munson & Brothers, but I am the type that will hit, you know, sleep to the very last minute. Like just enough time to roll out of bed and maybe be on time. But if I have... You know, like a little morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of gives me something to look forward to and get out of bed. You know, like, here's the Munson Brothers. You know, first thing first, getting some balm in the beard.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, after the shower or whatever. And just having a couple of things I do, you know, hygiene-wise, just before getting the day going. And that kind of gives me like a routine. Like, to okay, I know that this is going to take 20 minutes, so I got to... plan for that too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
When I go by routine, I tend to be completely messed up if it don't go
like it normally goes. Your day up?
Yeah. Like if I go, like I always have a routine at work of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do it, it's like I'm walking around like, what am I, what was I going to do? What was I supposed to do? Oh, yeah. It's about that time.
Yes, right here. We had to take it. You ever took this, the Myers-Briggs test?
I haven't.
Yeah, I talked about a little bit about it on the show before. It's funny. I'm the only person in the company that has this personality trait. They surveyed 63 people, and I was the only ESTP.
ESTP.
Yeah.
Elaborate.
So the E is, you can be an E or an I. You can be... extroverted or introverted. And like I'm kind of just like right in the middle. I can swing either way.
Mm-hmm.
And then the S is a sensing versus intuition. And then thinking versus feeling. And then judging versus perceiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so like most guys are E. Let's see. Where's it at? Most guys are ESTJs or ISTJs. Like most male brains, based on judgment.
Yeah.
Rather than perception.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you would be, like, judging the action of someone besides compared to stepping in their shoes.
I'll give you I think you really hit the nail on the head. The difference between the two is judgment is this is like lifestyle. Judgment likes plan,
mm-hmm.
and then perception likes spontaneity,
mm-hmm.
just to be spontaneous. And then the focus is judgmental personality trait is decisive, self-regimented, purposeful, and then perception is curious, flexible, adaptable. And then orientation is judgmental, is exact, and then perception is tolerant. And then the last thing, like in the work environment, judgmental type focus on completing tasks, make decisions quickly, wants only the essential of the job. Perception focuses on starting tasks, postpone decisions, wants to find out about the job.
You think that you said every man is a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's based on what they went through in their life? Because I know with me, like when I was younger, I definitely was more judgmental, and I still am today. But it's always the judgment, and then the turnaround of, well, you don't know, you don't know what it's like. And I say that because with me, things that I've done, people look at and judge me for. And I'm like, well, but you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know what's in my head. You don't know the battles I go through, the monsters I talk to.
I think that's just wisdom, you know.
It might be.
I think that's grace.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's just characteristics. It's fruits of the Spirit. I remember when I was in Mobile, when I was still married, and that's just personality type. That's not saying that if you have a judgmental personality that you're judgmental.
Yeah.
You know, that you're always judging, but...
I think the only people you should judge is yourself.
That's right. Man, I was probably the most judgmental, like, you know, the idea of Christian that, like, non-Christians, like, the stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Perfectly, dude. It's very self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, after the divorce, it's like, I finally started getting things right. It kind of humbled me.
Yeah.
To where, like, I was kind of, like, I would say, like, a holier-than-thou
mm-hmm.
kind of mentality. And then after that, it was like, you know what?
Well, that holier-than-thou thing could probably be, the holier-than-thou thing, that can be from the Christian side standpoint and the worldly standpoint. Because I know a lot of people who aren't Christians that, you know, think that everything they do and say is better than what you have. That every story you got, they got one better. If you jump 46 inches, they jump 48.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. So. It can go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, and what's crazy is, like, they recommend taking that test twice.
Mm-hmm.
And that you probably won't get it right the first time you take it. The second time is, like, you can better nail down everything.
Probably the first time people take it, they probably ain't as honest as they are on the second.
That's right. Because the first time you take it, you kind of read.
You're trying to make yourself look a certain way.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to be as honest as I could be. And I was surprised, like ESTP, I forgot, like, the breakdown on males. I think it's like only like 14% of males that's taking the test land on that. And I was like, well, that's wild. It's rare.
That's crazy.
And I was out of 63 people at my company. I was the only one like this.
Yeah.
And when my supervisor saw that, like, you know, that just my personality, we were able to, like, work better together.
Yeah.
Because, you know, kind of stay out of my way. I don't like plans. I'm going to get the job done. It might be at the very last minute, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just the way that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the opposite, you know. He likes plans and structure, and I'm anti that, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we have one thing that we just started doing was we had a meeting about it Friday. He wanted to make sure that we understood. He said, "I'm about to start calling you and texting you while you're out in the field and asking you what you're doing. And it's not to micromanage. It's not, you know, to make you feel like I don't trust you while you're out in the field. Like I don't sit in my office thinking Alan's dicking off in the city all day. I know that you're doing your job.
Yeah.
But he was, I just need to know, as far as communication, we're not communicating enough.
Yeah.
And just trying to have better communication.
He might have told you that, but he's probably lying.
Right.
He's probably just telling you that because that's the right thing, politically correct thing to do.
Yeah. That could be it. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in the end of the day, if he texts me, what am I doing? I don't mind. I'm reading a meter.
Yeah.
Or I'm installing a meter or
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I don't have anything to hide, you know.
Yeah, yeah. My boss is like that. He'll, well, he is to some people. With me, he's not so much. But me and my boss are different than others because he wasn't my boss. He ain't always been my boss. You know, he worked beside me for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
We became friends before he was my boss. And I don't take advantage of that. I can't really, but because he won't let it. But I don't even attempt to try to, you know, like, well, it's me, you know. It's me. If I doing something or miss a day or something, like I need people to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
Definitely. If I don't, I'll stray off quick.
Oh, yeah, man. I think we all do. And that's another thing about it, I think, because here lately he's been, like, really pushing, like, accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his thing about, like, better communication. He's like, that would help us to better hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And because you're not staying on each other in like a pushy way. It's like, all right, here's what we're focusing on. Because we have left a couple of projects kind of left undone that are it's pretty serious. They need to be finished. And like, you know, 4 months goes by and you haven't.
Mm-hmm.
You just keep ignoring it.
Procrastinating.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a difficult task. It's, you know, it's just,
yeah. I know all about it. I built a house. Mm-hmm. I still got things I need to be done.
Yeah, so.
There's a lot of people like that. A lot of people will put stuff off. It can be the simplest thing. I know I put stuff off all the time. But when I finally do it, though, I feel more accomplished than when I get it done.
It's, yeah.
Like, I've been meaning to do this for months, and I finally did it.
It's like, you know, the big May 8th, we're wanting to throw a party here.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the Stiftones coming to town, and we're about to start working on this daily. Just having a house or a trailer, you know, like your own place.
Mm-hmm.
Upkeep is, it's easy to let it go. And like, once you start letting it go, dude, it can get away from you.
Yeah.
And so like, we're just daily going to start, you know, maybe it's just one room at a time and just like working slow. Let's get the upkeep up.
Mm-hmm. One problem I have with doing it like little by little is I'll do five little things over a 6 month period, but then say you're cleaning.
Yeah.
Then at the end of that 6 months, the first thing you clean needs it again.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah, you have to do it again.
It's discipline. It's discipline. I think that's what a lot of people. I know it's what I lack in a lot of areas. But it's crazy. Most of the time, that where your discipline lies is where your heart is. What you love the most is where you're most disciplined at.
Mm-hmm.
Like with my wife and child, they're the reason I keep going to work, to anything. But that's the reason that I care about my job so much, because I know that I can't do as good a job. I can't give them the best that they need without me going to my job.
Mm-hmm.
But like stuff that doesn't affect them, like the upstairs of my house that I haven't started on. It's hard for me. Of course, wood's expensive right now.
Yeah.
So that's another reason. And that's really the main reason, I would guess, because the money I would spend on that, I'm spending it on other stuff, you know. But
yeah, a lot of things lately has kind of gone up. I've been watching.
Everything.
Like, I went to the grocery store this morning.
Yeah.
And I didn't buy a whole lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I had, like, 4 bags. And I had half a gallon of Milo sweet tea.
Yeah.
$50.
Mm-hmm. Where'd you go?
I go to Ashmore's.
Okay. I was going to say, like, the mom and pop grocery stores are always more expensive.
Yeah.
They're better quality. In meat, anyway, especially.
Yeah,
I mean, the main department.
Yeah, I did buy a lot of meat today, too.
Yeah, that is definitely... we bought meat from Publix the other day and was going to grill hamburgers last night with it. It's 5 pounds worth. The expiration date on the package said 4/29, so it hasn't reached that, but it's on the door knocking. Mm-hmm. Dude, as soon as I cut it open, I smelled it, and I was like, I'm not eating this. Because it smelled like deer meat. Like, it had a wild, gamey smell to it.
Oh, yeah, that's the burgers you cooked last night.
Yeah, but I cooked, that I fed to Czar. Yeah. Because I said, I'm still going to cook them. I'm not just going to waste it. So I cooked them and fed them to my pit bull. And he loved them.
Yeah, he did.
He ate 5 pounds of meat last night.
I'd hate to be his, stomach today.
Oh, he's tough. He's ate a lot of nasty stuff. I've watched it. He'll eat a squirrel whole. I fed him like that for a lot, last year during COVID when I was laid off or furloughed. Whatever it is, 4 months, however long I was off. Instead of going and buying a sack of dog food, me and him went walking through the woods and I'd shoot a squirrel. He'd hang whole. Like, I can't even, he won't let me get it and clean it and cook it for him at least. Mm-hmm. He just starts at the head and eats the whole thing, tail, fur. And I'm like, dude, you better chew them bones up. Dude, that's going to hurt.
Man, he's a good dog.
He is. Like I told you last night, he's the best dog I've ever had.
Yeah.
Most loyal, the most well-minded. I'm having a brass statue made of him when he dies. I don't care what I got to pay neither. But I'm going to have a brass statue made of him. I'm going to have it sitting on like a monument base with his big plaque with his name on it and his birthday and when he died.
Oh, man.
That's how much it means to me. I probably, and me and Jessica's both discussed that we're not getting any more animals anytime soon anyway. If we get anything, it'll be like goats or something.
Like Zsa Zsa, man. She's, 12?
12, yeah. She's 12. And Czar's 11, 10 or 11.
I remember that when Jessica got that dog, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. She's a good alarm. Little Pomeranian bouncing around, barks at everything. And I hate it, but I like it. I hate it because when I get home, that's all she does, barks, and I can be looking at her. She can be looking at me. She knows who I am. She's barking. Until I scream hush at her, she won't shut up. But
I'm just waiting to see how it goes. I've been wanting to get me another dog. I think the next dog I'm going to get is going to be like a red or a blue heeler.
Yeah, those are smart dogs.
Yeah.
We need a border collie at our house to help herd cows.
Yeah, man.
I'm finna get some, probably for real, finna get some sheep. Because they're very easy to maintain. The only thing is they're stupid.
Oh, they're the dumbest.
But that's a good thing, though. Because you can control them better. And if I got a dog, I can just like, go round them up and bring them in.
Blue heelers could do that, too.
Yeah, they can. Mm-hmm. I just like border collies the way they look.
I just, yeah. And if I do get a blue or red heeler, which I might go to the pound and just get a mutt, I don't know, but
it'll last longer.
Yeah, but my thing is like I wanted to train it up, and it'd be my road dog. Mm-hmm. So if I could talk to work, be like, hey, you know, not play it off as like an anxiety dog, but I was like, I just want to keep the dog with me.
Yeah,
you know, all times,
mm-hmm.
And just have him riding shotgun in the work truck or like. You know, if I'm on the road doing the podcast,
yeah,
he's the road warrior.
Mm-hmm. What would you name him?
Atlas.
Atlas.
Yeah,
that's a cool name. That's a cool name. I've been looking at French bulldogs.
Oh yeah.
I don't know why I like them so much. I've always had big dogs besides Zsa Zsa, and she ain't really my dog. She's Jessica's dog, but I've always had a big dog my whole life.
Yeah.
I just wanted a small one.
You remember my half wolf dog?
Yeah, what was his name?
That was Gage.
Gage.
He was a good dog.
Yeah, he was.
I remember we were still at a party. This has been 15 years ago, probably. We had a party. And there was one guy that he had never been to my house. And, you know, he asked where the bathroom was. I was like, you know, first door on the right down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, like, we had parties. I would keep Gage back here in my room because he was a big, massive dog. He looked like a wolf. He's intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
He's harmless unless you come back in this room.
Yeah.
Without me.
Yeah.
And that dude opened up the door, and that was, I don't know if you remember, but we used to have, like, a love seat right mm-hmm. there where you're at. And Gage would just sit right there looking at the door until I'd let him out.
Yeah.
And that dude opened the door, and Gage saw it wasn't me. And, dude, that dude came running down the hall. Like, and Gage, he left the door open, so Gage thought he was playing, you know.
Yeah.
Ran after him. And he busted up in the kitchen. And he's like, dude, you got a damn wolf in your room. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, Gage, come here, man. I told him to sit down. He sat down by me, and he's like, that thing ain't going to eat my head off. And I was like, nah, he's harmless.
Yeah.
He just looks mean.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, he's about as mean as his owner. Which, I don't think he's got a mean bone in his body. But, that's definitely been my favorite dog. I wish I could have brought it down to Mobile with me.
Yeah.
But he got hit by a truck.
I remember he didn't like coons.
Mm-mm.
He hated coons, boy.
Well, man, got to revisit, it was a little bit nostalgic last night.
Yes.
Got to watch the new Mortal Kombat film.
Yes, absolute nostalgia. And I, like I said, when y'all left last night, after we watched it, I watched it again, and it was even better.
You know, right when I got home, I mean, I didn't even sit my keys down on the nightstand good. I want to watch that again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's rare with movies today.
Very, very. I don't ever do that hardly.
Like, one thing, like, I've been complaining about lately, and it's, you know, some of them are good. Like, I like all the Rockies. I like all the Creed films. Like, that's a very great franchise.
They're coming out with another one of them, by the way.
Yeah. And then you take things like Need for Speed.
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, Fast and Furious. I mean, they're like on number 13 now, and it's just like, oh, we're going to wreck a car into a spaceship on this one. It's, you know, it's just action Jackson.
Yeah. They're going to have a Fast and Furious 28 one day with nothing but electric vehicles.
Yeah. But, you know, the Marvel movies, this was made by Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers done a jam-up job.
Yes.
I didn't know any of these actors. I had never seen any of them before.
Well, I'd seen the guy who played Scorpion. He played in Wolverine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
He was the dad of the girl in Wolverine. I knew him, but that's the only one.
Yeah, and he's not like a big actor.
Mm-mm. And Raiden kind of looked familiar, but I think, you know, his eyes are always lightning, so that kind of threw me off. But he looked familiar, and I've probably seen him because I love martial art movies. And,
yeah.
Like Ip Man and stuff like that. And he looks familiar, but I didn't research it none. I did look up. Because we spent the whole movie trying to figure out who one of the main characters was. It was like, who's he going to be? You know, is he going to get his thing and turn into Scorpion, or is he Tommy Hawk? Who is he?
Yeah.
And then I texted you after y'all left because I had to Google it, and they introduced a new character, and it was interesting because the article I read about it, the same director who did the first one did this one. And he got criticism, I guess, from Warner Brothers or from producers saying that, you know, you don't need to introduce a new character.
Especially make it the main character.
Yeah. Right? But I liked it.
I loved it.
I liked his suit. I liked his weapons. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was all really, really cool. He kind of looked like Aquaman.
Yeah.
But then it kind of looked like he was wearing like a basket weave shirt. But he had like the kinetic absorption like Black Panther, which is pretty sick considering he could take anything you throw at him and throw it right back.
Yeah.
That was pretty sick. I liked it, the fact that the movie was like the game, very gory.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very gory.
Yeah, I was very pleased with that.
It was pretty sick. I enjoyed it.
Man, like, to rate this movie Lance on-wise is like...
1 to 10?
Yeah, 1 to 10.
10.
I say 10, 10.
10.
Like, the story was good.
Mm-hmm.
The characters were great.
Mm-hmm.
And I love, like, the way they done everything. It was like, you know, the mark.
Yeah.
They did a good job with developing that. Even, like, with how they developed their ability.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you have to unlock it.
Yeah.
And I like the pitch on that. It's like, it's an ancestral thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. A little bloodline.
Yeah.
Type thing. I think it was cool that, you know, Mortal Kombat, the definition of that is a tournament. amongst worlds, and there wasn't even a tournament.
That was, you know.
You know what we should have said before we talked about this? Spoiler alert. Sorry, guys. If you're listening now, spoiler alert, you're going to learn something.
But is it, you know?
I mean, either way, even if we have, you think we've spoiled it for you, please go watch it.
Yeah, it really hasn't. But yeah, I remember right when we finished the film, I think it was the last thing that we talked about before I left your house, mm-hmm. was there wasn't a tournament. But it's good for the story because, like, the whole time, it's the build up. You're getting to know these characters. Well,
the what they did in the movie was more entertaining to me than I think a tournament would have been.
Yes, yeah.
And that's what I enjoyed about it, because the whole time, like, we was an hour and a half in the movie, and I'm like, man, when are they going to fight in the tournament? Mm-hmm. When is the tournament, you know? And it never came. And I'm like, yes, that means they're going to do another one. that means they're going to bring it. They're going to keep going.
And the introductions to each of the characters was almost perfect, mm-hmm. you know.
It was good to get a background of a lot of them.
Yeah.
Especially the Scorpion Sub-Zero story. I never knew that about that. I've always thought Sub-Zero was the good guy.
Yeah.
Always. And he's not.
I thought that, anyway. Yeah. I thought that, I always knew that Scorpion was anti-hero, that he was on no one's side.
He's out for revenge, is all he's for. Yeah.
And I thought that Sub-Zero was anti-hero, too. Mm. I thought, which Reptile is evil.
Yeah.
And Smoke, I always thought was kind of anti-hero, but he's evil.
Yeah.
But I sure as crap thought all of those guys, like, mm-hmm. they didn't have a master. They played their own game, you know? But I enjoyed it, man.
Yes, it was a great movie. It was great. I was worried about it because some people at work, some guys at work had told me that they had read where it had been getting bad reviews and
stuff. Sometimes and like, a good thing.
Yeah. Every time. It seems like every time that I hear a movie's getting bad reviews, I watch it. I'm like, what are they talking about? I mean, they obviously ain't watching the same thing I'm watching, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that movie was sick. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it both times.
Yeah. And just seeing, like, I don't think that Kung Lao's ever been on film, has he?
He went on the first one, or the first two, three.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him. But he's a pretty cool character.
Mm-hmm. He was one of my favorites on the... I'm trying to remember which Mortal Kombat, but I would always fight with him or Liu Kang.
Mm-hmm. I always get Raiden.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
He was always, like, difficult to fight with. Like, his combos were difficult.
The newer games, there was one combo that's the only thing I did, and you pretty much can't stop it. But it's when he flies towards you with lightning bolts and knocks you down, and it does heck of damage,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, like, if...
That move actually made me want to go buy the game again. I had 10, I think, 10 or 11, one of the two. I had it for a long time. I ended up trading it in because it's fun to play, but really only if you're playing with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing by yourself, yeah, the story's cool in it, you know, but I'd rather play you and just show you how to play, you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Oh, man, coming up, like, kind of in the golden age of gaming, like, what was your favorite fighting game? Was it Mortal Kombat? Do you remember Killer Instinct?
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Didn't you?
I'd say Street Fighter, though.
Street Fighter?
Mortal Kombat, it'd be Mortal Kombat than Street Fighter, but those two would be top.
What about Smash Brothers?
Oh, I forgot about that. I didn't even think about that being like a fighting game, but it is. That is a good game. I enjoy that
game. It's just a good genre.
That'd be number three. For me,
Mortal Kombat's number one.
Street Fighter, and then Super Smash Brothers.
I'm gonna break this down different.
Okay.
I think as far as like a fight engine, I like Smash Brothers.
The 2D.
Well, no, just like it's just a button masher. There's not like intense combos. There's not technique. It's, you know, you can pick up and play it with your nephew.
The new Smash Brothers has technique.
Does it?
Have you played it?
Well, I guess so.
Most of the time, right nowadays, the only thing I think, you probably can play it on something else, but on the Switch, the Nintendo Switch, mm-hmm. there's some kids, Jonah Whiteside at church. When he found out I had a Nintendo 64, he went crazy. He was like, dude, you got to bring it and let me play it. I was like, man, you can come to my house and play it whenever you want, you know?
Yeah.
But he says, I'm going to bring my Switch and we're going to play Smash Brothers. And I was like, okay. And I was like, I'm going to teach this little kid something, you know? And I beat him, but, man, have you ever played a Switch?
Yeah.
When you play
Yeah, my nephew's got one.
If you play like by yourself, it's cool. But when you take the controllers off, man, that controller's like a, oh my Lord, It's so small. And I was like, how do y'all play with this? Like, I don't even know what buttons to press. I couldn't even hit the paddles because of my fingers, how long they was. But I finally got it. I learned. I went with my old faithful Kirby.
Oh, yeah. Just absorb.
Yeah, Kirby is great for flying attacks.
I like Ness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That or Star Fox. I like Star Fox
is good, yeah. I'd say, like, as far as characters, Mortal Kombat was my favorite. Like, Street Fighter, to me, had, like, your stereotypical, you know, it was kind of, it wasn't, they're not the most interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you ever play Tekken?
Yeah, Tekken was cool.
I think I might have to redo my list. It'd be Mortal Kombat, Tekken, Street Fighter, and then Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
Because Tekken, I grew up originally PlayStation. And that's one of the first games my dad bought was Tekken. And man, I still have that game. Next time you come to the house, we're going to get the old PlayStation out and play it.
Oh, that'd be dope. You got any, man?
Dude, I have over 100 original PlayStation games. Is it
Crash Bandicoot?
I got the new one of that, too.
Yeah, that game was dope when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. But, I don't know.
Booga booga.
Tekken had some pretty iconic characters. I like that the Asian guy with like the gwill hair. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like the spiked up.
The guy with the lightning fish had the red gloves with the silver little things on it.
That's it.
What's his name? That's Tekken, ain't it?
I think that is the main guy. Yeah.
I always liked the I think his name's Yamashita. He was like the robot guy with the samurai sword.
Like a tiger
sword.
Dude? Like half tiger dude.
Yep. There was a guy who looked like Johnny Bravo. He had the tall, bouffant looking cone head hairstyle.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, little mama. What do you think about this?
Hey, I'm surprised if you cancel Pepe Le Pew, wait till you find out about Johnny Bravo.
Hey, dude, that was something I was thinking about today with me and my little girl. She sat down, we was eating breakfast, fisting to. And she said she wanted to watch something. So I got my phone out and I pulled up HBO Max again. Mm-hmm. And at the bottom, it's got a bunch of different little hubs for different, like, it's got like Adult Swim, Cartoon Network, DC, all kinds of stuff like that, where you can like separate genres and whatever, however you want to say
it. So HBO owns Warner Brothers?
Yes.
Or are they just
together? Think they're partners, maybe.
Okay.
But it had the Cartoon Network one. I clicked on it, and the first thing that popped up on it was Dexter's Laboratory. She's like, oh, I want to watch that. I was like, yes. There is so much I didn't catch as a kid that I see now as an adult. And it's crazy because she don't know. Mm-hmm. But
she's enjoying it for a totally different reason.
And like I would laugh at it, and she would laugh only because I was laughing.
That's right.
Because I understood it. But it's crazy how things are perceived as a child compared to an adult, and you're not.
Definitely.
And, I mean, it's just knowledge is all it is, just knowing what things are. Like, we watched Courage the Cowardly Dog, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe my mom let me watch this as a kid.
Man, I'll be honest with you. Like,
there's no way that cartoon would make it today.
Mm-mm.
There's no way. I don't know how you can stream it, really. I mean, it has to be for people our age, so we can watch it again.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just some of the stuff they do on there, it's just like, whoa. Like, I was like, I don't know if I want Carly to watch this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
there was I remember that show, you know, I was 8, 9 years old. And some of the scenes in it kind of made me uncomfortable.
Some of them are scary. It can be scary.
Yeah.
It can be scary. It's crazy. That Mortal Kombat movie was
fire.
Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited because you know they're going to make another one. There's no way it didn't do good. Especially because, I mean, you're not just talking about people our age that like the nostalgia part of it and it something being reborn and brought back into our lives. But you look at how popular the game is, you're talking about younger generations with that, a lot younger.
Well, and think about this. It's a very cultural thing. It's... you know, I imagine some theaters probably showed this. I don't know if any around here did.
I don't know if it was supposed to be in theaters.
Yeah. And the idea is, like, I watched this movie when I was a kid, and now I get to take my kid.
Yeah. You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the same thing as me watching Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah.
With Carly. It's just something special that you can share.
Yeah.
Because she always asks, whatever we watch, she's like, did you used to watch this when you was a little boy? I'm like, yeah, baby, I did. I used to watch it, you know.
Now, granted, you know, it's like, I don't know if I'd want an 8-year-old watching Mortal Kombat, but...
Not at all. Mm-mm. No, that would be like a teenager, maybe.
Yeah, you know,
like you would want to watch.
14, 15.
Yeah, not nothing lower than that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, especially the game. Game's worse.
Yeah.
A lot worse.
Speaking of which, I love, like, anytime you... Scorpion is introduced. Get over here.
That's the most iconic thing to me.
They drop fatality.
Yeah, that saying. I remember when it come out when we was younger, when we was in elementary school, we'd be out playing PE or something. And that's what everybody was saying.
Yeah,
you know.
Yep.
That'd be awesome to be able to. I wish I had a dagger and chain coming out of my hand. I'd use it I wouldn't even use it to hurt people. I'd just be like, hey, my spit bottle's way over there. I'm like, wrap it up, bring it here. Get over here. Somebody cooking steak. I'm like, here, get your steak. Come in and get your steak. I'm like, get over here.
Throw it right in the mouth. Yep.
I kept saying
katana, but it was Milana.
Melania, yeah. Yeah, that crazy heifer.
Yeah, and it was...
There's so many characters that is like what I'm going to call an OG character that I'm excited about because we saw one at the end of the movie that they're going to bring in the next one.
Remember I asked about him the entire time.
Mm-hmm. And see, I already knew...
See, we're not spoiling this one for you.
Yeah, I already knew that he wasn't going to be in this movie because I had read and people had told me. And I was like, what? Why? Like,
He's OG.
He's OG. He's one of the originals. Like, well, that don't make no sense. But since that there wasn't no tournament, it does make sense. Like, oh, they ain't gathered everybody yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, they didn't have the tournament. And that's why he ain't in this movie. It's because they've planned this out. Like, they have, they probably are filming the next one now. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? I can't wait.
I'm telling you. I can't wait. Some of my favorite characters didn't even, like... I kept asking about Quan Chi.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Baraka.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a freaky looking dude to see. And the CGI and all the effects. Goro looked good. Reptile was interesting.
It was, because, you know, the reptile that we know looks like Scorpion, and Sub-Zero is just green. He can turn into the chameleon thing or whatever, but... When he's fighting, normally he's like a human-looking guy.
Yeah, humanoid.
Got the mask and the hoodie thing, mm-hmm. whatever. You think they'll bring Scorpion back? You think he'll be in the next movie?
To be honest with you, I think...
I mean, he did what he was supposed to do, right? He did the whole reason that he was wandering through hell and learned how to control his flame was so that he could get back at old dude, and mm-hmm. he did.
I think he stays.
But you know he's going to come back. Sub-Zero's going to come back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone that was killed off, at least on the bad side,
yeah,
I see coming back. Because can't they pull them out of the Netherrealm or whatever, wherever they go?
Yeah. I hope they bring Kano back, because he was one of my favorites.
Was he?
He was hilarious, dude. It was so funny watching him.
Perfect, yeah.
Yes, I laughed so hard.
And that's just the way he was, you know, like in the games and stuff.
Yeah.
It was very tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
It is crazy, though, because, like, every character has their ability that you know about, but they was different, you know, because like Kano in the game has like a robot eye and like half a robot head, and that's how he can shoot that laser beam. But in the movie, it wasn't like that. In the movie, he just generates it, I guess, because he's a chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So he has that.
I like that take,
opportunity.
Though. That was like a real fresh take.
Yeah, though. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was good to take the old and add a little new, and it'd be good. You can't do that a lot. It's hard to do because a lot of people, if you take something old that you know how it's supposed to be and then you change it up, people get upset sometimes. I think that's why the director caught so much slack about introducing somebody new. But to me, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could sell that easy.
I mean, I wouldn't mind, like, you know, whoever, a new introduction with a new film. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind it.
Not at all.
Build the universe.
Yeah.
But why not? I think there is, I don't think there's enough new things out there. And I don't know if people, what do you think about this? Is, let's say, to create a new universe, you know, they made all the Harry Potter films, and then they started, like, an offshoot, which was a very good, I liked them better than the Harry Potter films.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah, Fantastic. I don't think they're going to do any more, but it's a cash cow. People already know that universe, and, like, it's easy for people to latch onto, and plus it was good, right?
Yeah.
And you think Marvel movies, okay, now that they went through the entire universe, they can reboot it at any time.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a little bit of cultural decay. Is we should, like, think about this. You know, I asked y'all last night, name a Christmas song.
Jingle Bells.
Right. When was that wrote? Like in the 40s?
Probably. It's probably Public Domain by now.
Yeah. Most Christmas songs are. Mm-hmm. And, like, Mariah Carey is probably wrote the most recent hit Christmas song, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yeah.
And even that song now is old.
Yeah, but every year Christmas is number one.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, think about that. It's like these cultural things is like we don't touch and we don't reinvent. We don't,
yeah,
you know,
mm-hmm.
we just keep trying to push the same rock down the same hill, you know, instead of coming up with this new concept. Like, even with Lord of the Rings, man, I love it. It's my favorite fantasy, but, you know, let's do something new. Let's have a new fantasy. Let's build a new world, you know?
Well, you know, I agree with you completely, but there's some things that I don't think it would be worth it to try to do again. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's only so much you can do with certain things to where it just gets boring.
Yeah.
You know? But it all depends on how big a fan you are, too. Like, I think no matter what they come out with on certain things, I'm going to like it. Whether they change it, whether they keep it the same, mm-hmm. I'm going to enjoy it because that's what I like. But there are certain things that if it gets changed up, a lot of change is something people don't like.
Yeah.
And I think that's one battle in the world today. You know, there's so many things that people are trying to change and people are trying to hold on to. Like, no, that's not right. This is how it's supposed to be. You don't have no right to change it. And then the other person's like, well, you have no right to hold me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and that's a different subject for a different day. But there's certain things that I wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't matter what they did. If it was in tutus, you know, I'd still watch it.
Yeah.
I'd make fun of it probably, but I'd still watch it.
I'm just thinking about this, just like, you know, as something my grandpa always said, and he's right, is you won't ever get ahead working for someone else.
No.
You won't never be your own.
You'll always be behind them.
Mm-hmm. And man, I won't. I'm getting ready to start my LLC. I think I just named it. I think we're going to call it Foxfire Productions. Mm-hmm. And, man, I want to, you know, have podcasts. I want to start making our own comics, our own short films, our own fantasies, our own video games, you know, and, like, create culture.
Yeah. Write books.
Mm-hmm.
Create stories.
That's right.
Create fantasies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's something that's really cool.
And I think it can be done. I think it can be done well. It's like, you think about Image Comics, they got Spawn and The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly well known.
Yes.
And you know, and a lot of people, like in the comic book world, say, well, there's only two. There's Marvel and DC.
Yeah.
And it's not true.
Oh, there's a bunch. There's a bunch.
I mean, you could even take it to cards, man. Think about the card culture, you know?
It's blew up in the past year. Talk about, like, cards is in, like, trading cards.
That's right.
Yeah, that's blew
up. From Pokemon to Yu-Gi-Oh, baseball to whatever.
Football, basketball, hockey, soccer.
Yeah.
All of them have certain cards that are worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
That people go after.
And the internet affects it a lot, you know?
That's the thing. That's the only reason that I got back into it. Well, besides Carly loves opening them, but you watch these videos of guys opening packs and they get a Charizard and they freak out. They start screaming and hollering. You get excited with them even though it ain't even in your possession. You're just looking at it. Like, you could pull up a picture of it and look at it, but it's not as exciting as seeing somebody opening that pack and then barely, you know, spreading them cards out and seeing that shiny corner. Like, ooh. There's a guy I follow on YouTube. And if anybody's listening that likes watching Pokemon cards open, you need to watch this guy. His name's David. His YouTube channel is David Parody. And his name is Robert Yamamoto from Japan. And he don't speak Japanese. He's American. Or actually, I think he lives in Canada. But that's that point. He's probably one of the most entertaining to watch open cards. Just because he freaks out, dude. He just starts squealing. He has certain Pokemon cards he has different names for that's funny, making fun of them.
Yeah.
Like Ekans. Every time he pulls an Ekans, he's like, there's an Ekans, spell that backwards.
Snake.
Or an Abra, spell that backwards. And then every time he pulls a Weedle, there's a Weedle, a.k.a. me. it's fun. It's fun. He's entertaining. He's entertaining to watch. But he's one of those that opens up Pokemon, basketball, baseball, soccer, football, and a lot of them, he'll open them up and be like, oh, well, I don't. It's funny to me because he doesn't know a lot about like soccer and hockey.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll pull a gem and won't know it. And he'll just have it laid out while he's got his phone out and he's looking. He's like, oh my goodness, this car's worth $200. You know, it's fun to watch him. He's a pretty cool guy. David Parody.
You know, and just think about like, what video games kind of did for card culture. I don't know if you ever got into like playing the soccer games, but there was a different game mode to where you would like pull card. Packs.
Yeah.
You would open them up, and then you get so many, and then you have to start paying to get these packs. Or you have to earn credits to get another pack.
Yeah.
And, like, who you pulled was literally on your team.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I was like, man, that's real. That's putting culture within a culture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. I ain't ever seen that.
Yeah. See, I think all that kind of stuff, it belongs together if you can be smart with your fantasies or your comics. If you want to make a game about it, an app, you can weave it all together.
Yeah. I think the new MLB The Show does that. You can, I don't know if you get them on the team or not, but I know there's a thing on there. I watched a guy, he was opening it up, and it was like a card or whatever. And like, when it shows the card goes away, and then the doors open up, and that player actually walks through or whatever.
It's that kind of thing.
Okay, and it's probably the same thing on that show, on that game. I want to buy that game because I ain't played a baseball game forever. Xbox don't have a good.
I still have it down there. It was for the Xbox and PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
It was MVP Baseball 2005, the only college game they ever made. I loved it.
I used to play 2K, ESPN 2K Baseball on PlayStation 2. That's one of the only baseball game I played, but it was fun.
And baseball games and soccer games, sport games in general, is how I found a lot of music.
Mm.
Like the Bravery on that 2005 baseball game?
Yeah.
It had the Bravery on it, An Honest Mistake.
That's cool.
It's a good baseball song.
Yeah.
And then there was this ain't how I discovered Band of Horses, but I think it was soccer 2012 for EA Sports. They had Band of Horses on there.
Yeah.
I was like, a lot of people will find your music if it gets on the game.
I just thought about like 20 different games of songs I still remember from the game.
Well, you remember Sean James? I've had him on the show.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He had one of his songs blow up because it was the opening credit song for The Last of Us.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
The first one?
He's featured on the second The Last of Us as well.
His music fits that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's another game I'm going to get, because now that I got a PlayStation, I'm on. That's one of the two of the probably five games that I wanted a PlayStation 4.
Yeah. So, I mean, once again, man, you can put culture on top of culture. Think about some movies, like any Quentin Tarantino film. If you want me to like your movie, like, have a real good soundtrack.
Yeah. You got to have music.
You know, Dazed and Confused. What's memorable about it? Like, sometimes when I hear a song on the radio, I immediately go to Dazed and Confused, mm-hmm. you know.
You can do that. That's the reason music's so powerful, is because it can bring you back. And on the way over here, I was listening to Chevelle. You know what I was thinking about? Baseball. Because that's all I used to listen to during baseball season.
It was Chevelle and System of a Down for me.
Yeah, yeah, both of them. I listen to more System of a Down during football because that's a little heavier. And you need to get a little
angry. I remember it was me, you, and Jaleb on the bus going to the away games, and we would listen to System of a Down and Chevelle.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the first day I heard System of a Down on the radio, on TV, when MTV played music videos.
BYOB?
Yep, BYOB come on. And I used to always cut it on right while I was getting ready to go to school.
Oh, yeah, me too, dude.
And I would listen. And the first day it come on, I found Jaleb. I was like, dude, have you ever heard of this band, System of a Down? He's like, yeah. I just discovered them today, and it's awesome.
Uh-huh. When we all started driving, you know, me and my brother would hang out in Liberty mm-hmm. all the time. And so you had Justin, John, and Jaleb, you know, Eric, Dustin, David.
Mm-hmm. Kyle.
Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
Yeah.
Seen him in a while.
I ain't either. I hope he's doing well. Shout out, Elmore.
Yeah. Throwback to the days of Coon Hunt.
I mean, oh, dude. Jaleb introduced me to System of a Down.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing about it. You know, I was the youngest guy in the group. And was riding in other people's trucks and having to hear what they were listening to, what was on the radio. Yeah.
I feel like you could play the first five notes of BYOB and you could turn a lot of heads. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, hey.
It's the way it works, right?
Yeah.
Like, you ever, you just out chilling at a restaurant, there's some live music, and a guy just breaks out like an iconic cover.
Yep. You'll stop what you're doing.
Yeah.
Turn your head.
Like, had fork going in the mouth.
Yeah. And most of the time, hey, that judgment thing we was talking about, because I know a lot of times when that happens, I'm like, what's he doing?
Yeah.
Is he going to do it right?
Oh, yeah.
He better do it right. Or I'm going to say something. Most of the time, I end up like, man, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like your perception on it. I like the way you take it. Yeah, I like the way you take it and throw it at me.
Mm. Well, dude, anything else to do on this one?
I don't reckon, man. It's been a good one.
All right. Hey, news and notes, thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask you to rate and review the show. Thank you for sharing it with your friends, and that's how it grows. It's very organic. Thank you all so much. About to play a song that is available on my YouTube channel. We are trying to get up to 100 subscribers so that we can start live streaming the show on the YouTubes. Similar to what we do with Untapped and Vinyl on the Facebook page of Porch Talk. Yeah, you can find us on the socials as well. But here is one of my songs. It's called Georgia. All right. Thanks, guys. Out of here. Georgia, she's on my mind. No, it ain't the place, it's a state of mind. And she'll be walking out of my life here soon. I don't know what I should do. What I used to do.
stay with me. Oh, let's just be. And I missed you once, don't wanna do it again. Come on, Georgia. You on my mind. And I'm telling you now, that girl's electricity. Lights up my world, Lord, she's in my veins. So it won't be long, it'll be growing dark. Have to find a way to carry on. Come on and carry on. Baby, you'll stay with me. Oh, let's just be. And I missed you once, I don't wanna do it again. Come on, Georgia. You on my mind. You with me all the time now. I say you on my mind now. You with me all the time now. Well, baby, you'll stay with me. Oh, let's just be. And I missed you once, I don't wanna do it again. Oh, Georgia, you're on my mind.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.